Friends, have you ever heard the term cliffhanger? It comes from certain motion pictures that you yourself have probably enjoyed a time or two. I'm talking about those exciting serials over the past 10 to 20 years, which feature your favorite action characters. Oftentimes, the episodes end with the hero hanging from a cliff. And you have to wait for the next episode before you can find out how he escapes his predicament. And that's how I left off last time. Not so much with a hero hanging from a cliff, you understand, but a moment in the story where you wanted more and I deliberately cut you off. So I know you're champing at the bit and raring to go. But I think as you grow older, you'll learn to appreciate the moment. Don't be gluttonous to consume as much horror and violence as you can, but rather, learn to savor the blood. Savor the gore. Swish it around in your mouth, so to speak. What notes do you detect? Perhaps some hidden existential dread that you hadn't noticed before? Questions about the afterlife? Perhaps a new appreciation for your loved ones, knowing they're safe and sound, when they could have been the ones torn apart by the Wendigos? All right. I've teased this out as much as I can. Let's reflect on our tale thus far. Dard and Dr. Greenbank went to fetch their things at the Four Seasons Resort in Pembine, only to find that the place was under siege by the nightmarish Wendigos.
You see Marla, she's one of the cleaning ladies, and she just holds up one finger to her mouth, and you can see she's dripping in sweat, and she's pressed up against the wall on the other side of the room.
Back at Ronnie's house, he and Elliot, and also Elliot's wife Nora, and his son Hamlet, were visited by some unwelcome strangers with guns.
You're, like, looking at him, and he immediately changes demeanor and then shoulders into the door incredibly hard, and it sort of opens up for a second, and you're able to slam it back shut, but you're not 100% what's going on, but he definitely just tried to force himself in here.
Ronnie, always fully anticipating intruders, had a zipline to escape out his upstairs window, but where he had practiced using it many times before, Nora had not.
Nora gets, like, this belt over, and she gets maybe 5 or 6 feet off, and she doesn't expect the big dip that comes off of it, and so as, like, it dips hard, she immediately lets go, and you see her try and grasp for these both, but then she just falls down into the snow, and you hear this sickening crack as she hits the ground, and she starts to sort of try and stand up and then falls right back down to the ground.
Oh, fuck! Frosty!
Elliot finally shot down both of the thugs in the house, and he helped Ronnie carry Nora back inside as she was suffering from a broken leg.
I think that's both of them. Nora, I'll be right there. And I'm going to run downstairs and go out the front door to get to her.
Ronnie is already there, and Nora's leg is facing the wrong direction and is at like a 90 degree angle.
Fuck.
Oh, Lord.
Meanwhile, Dart and the doctor were barely escaping with their lives.
You see Pete is trying to get his way up, and immediately this creature is then on top of Pete, and it's tearing him limb from limb, and you watch as it lifts him up and starts lapping at the blood that is flowing off of him, and you get to the car, and you're fumbling with the keys, and you're trying to get it open, and you hear this thing, and it's coming, and it's still coming, and then you finally get the fucking car keys into the fucking door, and you open it up, and you start up the car, and you immediately start making your way towards the highway, and it's still on you, and it's still gaining at you, and you don't understand why, and then all of a sudden it just stops in the middle of the street, and you hear that loud call, and it starts heading back to the Four Seasons.
Dart is white knuckling the steering wheel, trying to keep his hands from shaking.
Upon reuniting, Dorothy drove Elliot's wife and child to the hospital. Uncertain as to why the thugs had attacked the house, Dart, Elliot, and Ronnie decided they had best vacate the premises, so they sank the cop car to the bottom of the river and drove the thugs forward back to Dr. Greenbank's home, only to encounter some more surprise visitors.
You're almost positive they're nuns. And they're standing on Dr. Greenbank's porch, and it looks like they have something. Like there's a device in the lady's hand, and she has this, like, wand almost, and she's, like, waving it around the house and stuff.
The mysterious nuns had some very unexpected information to share.
We're really hoping that you might know where Winston Wagner is. He might have told you that his name is Demetatron or the Voice of God.
Okay. Let's just say I'm caught off guard by that. How do you know about Demetatron?
We raised him.
And now that we're done savoring our time so far, let's continue our tale of the devil's antlers.
So, pardon me, maybe I misheard. You said the Metatron? You raised him?
Oh yeah, are you familiar? You've met him then?
Yeah, I look over at Dart, and then back over to them. We've both had the pleasure.
Would it be okay if we went inside?
I suppose.
We're just going to walk on in. Is she even home? We don't even know. We came to see if she was home.
Is who home?
Greenbank.
What? No, we sent her off to the hospital with Nora. We know she's not home.
Yeah, I know.
I know that, Vandermeek. Now they know that too.
We aren't here to hurt yous. We're actually just a tad worried is all.
Oh yeah, what are you worried about?
Let's come inside first.
Thank you. They will wait for you to go in, and then they'll go in after you, and they'll both go and sit down at the table and wait for the rest of you to kind of gather in, and
I'm gonna light the fireplace.
Okay. They blow into their hands, like you can tell that they've probably been outside for a while.
Dart's gonna start making a pot of coffee and kind of just trying to listen in.
I'm not so sure where even to begin. I'm Sister Mary. This is Sister Ingrid, and, well, we, you know, we raised Winston, sort of, I guess. It's complicated.
That brings me to the second question I had. You said Winston Wagner?
Oh, yeah.
Would that be any relation to Dr. Rick Wagner?
Oh, absolutely. That's his, grandfather, dad. It's hard to explain.
Well, is that coffee done yet?
Yep. Just got a couple cups ready, though.
I give the nuns theirs first, mostly so that they can at least hold something to keep their hands warm.
This is a good china. Don't dump your cigs on it.
We don't smoke, so that'll be fine.
Would I be out of place to assume that you know that there are strange, dangerous things going on right now?
We're not so sure exactly what is going on, but we do know that Winston, well, he's real cross with Dr. Wagner. So now that we know where they both kind of are at the very least, we were hoping we could kind of calm things down a bit.
So when you say where they kind of are you referring to... I look over at Dart and Ronnie. I guess I should just go out and say it. You're looking for the women that went missing.
No. We heard about that, but no, that's not what we're doing.
What are you doing? Exactly.
Well, we're trying to get Winston back. The Miracle Commission is near certifying him. He's gonna go in front of the Pope. Winston was touched by God.
I'm gonna get some more coffee.
Yeah, I'll take a refill too.
Yeah, sure.
This conversation has gone in ways that I wasn't prepared.
Yeah, would you care to elaborate a little bit more on this whole Miracle Commission you said? I ain't heard of that before.
The Vatican has a commission. They go out and decide whether or not something is a genuine miracle or not.
And they're coming here to check if Winston's?
Oh no, they've been coming multiple times, and then Winston up and disappeared.
How strange would it sound if when we saw him that it wasn't here, and I kind of placed my palms flat and kind of motioning them towards the ground.
I'm not quite sure what you're getting at. I know that he can do a great many things.
All right, so could you list his powers for us just real quick, go through them?
I think it would be quicker to ask them about a specific power since it's the one that we've encountered.
I'd like to know them all.
Can he project himself into people's dreams?
Well, that's a new one to me. Sister Ingrid?
And Sister Ingrid will shake her head no.
Mostly, you know, he would heal folks. Illnesses. One time, somebody who was paralyzed. Not always healing folks, though.
But he couldn't perform this on himself.
What do you mean?
Well, he was missing a hand.
You should know we haven't seen Winston in 3 years. We've been chasing him all throughout the Midwest, and I think this is the closest that we've gotten to him.
Ronnie's going to set his coffee cup down, take his cigarettes out, and then put them back in his pocket and say, when was the last time you saw him?
Well, there was a break-in at Holy Hill, and there's a big commotion, you know, a few windows get broken and this and that, and Winston was just gone.
All right, he disappeared on you. And then you say you chased him across the Midwest. What was that? You just found evidence along the way, or what?
Well, I mean, there's a few decent ways to track him. And she'll point to the Geiger counter that she set by the door. She's turned it off since you guys have gotten into the building. We've found that radiation and whatever these miracles are, they're related somehow.
This fellow of yours, how big is he, would you say?
Oh, you know, he's not quite grown in to be a man yet, you know.
Yeah, that tracks.
About 19?
That does not track.
No, this gets interesting. The one that I and Dart saw that communicated to us, as well as the woman that owns this whole house, Dr. Greenbank, the one we saw was a good deal older, middle-aged, big beard, missing a hand, wearing a Stetson hat.
Now, you did say that he projected himself to you, right?
Yes, it wasn't a dream, or at least a dreamlike state. Things have been very weird for us in the last...
Oh, hey! I gotta show you. Oh, hold on one moment. I'm gonna dig into my pockets and then inside my coat and pull out the paper and say, you ever seen this? And I'll show them the copy I did of the symbol in the basement.
They'll look at it wide-eyed and they'll say,
no, but I don't much care for the look of it.
Well, he told me he made it, and it's 10 feet below us right now.
That would probably explain the radiation. This has gotten much, much worse than we originally thought.
I don't know if it's worse. According to these guys, this is a protective symbol. It did us a favor.
That is what he told us.
So he was here, though, is what you're telling me. You know he had to have been here if he made that, right?
Well, at least possibly not physically.
So, there is a thing that Dr. Wagner always used to say. That on Winston's 33rd birthday, he would bring the second coming of Jesus. Revelation.
So that's 11 years from now? You said he was 19 when he... last saw you 3 years ago, correct?
No, he would be about 19 now. He was 16 when he left us, so you would have 14 years as far as I'm concerned. However, my real concern is that when he gets angry, he doesn't have to heal. Sister Ingrid, could you please go and fetch my shawl from the car. And Sister Ingrid will kind of look at her puzzled and a little bit angry. And she'll go, and as soon as the door shuts behind her, Sister Mary looks back at you and she says, Father Larson took a toy away from him once. And his eyes turned into blood and they ran down his face and he screamed. And Winston, he walked over and he picked up the train, went right back to playing with it.
Ronnie pulls the cigarettes out of his pocket and puts them back again. Okay. Interesting. So, when you find this guy, what are you going to do when you get a hold of him? Can you even do anything? I don't know what to do with somebody that turns eyes to blood.
Not real proud of this, but we did find out that with some lead-lined boxes that, you know, you could possibly shove a person into. His powers won't work through it for some reason.
Easier said than done, I would think.
Didn't say it was going to be easy.
You got a plan for this icebox?
We're planning to try and talk him down. We're not trying to throw him in the box right away. I mean, maybe, you know, this is mostly just his father's doing. We don't know anything yet, okay? He's still just a boy.
Yes, sister, there's another sort of aspect to this that I thought you might have been aware of, but it's appearing to me that you don't. There have been several attacks over the last couple of days that have come near enough to kill all three of us, and have killed several others. It could be the work of Winston. However, before we met just now, we had come across pretty strong evidence that it was Dr. Wagner that might have been the cause.
Not to mention, he seems to have taken a liking to you and Greenbank, and we still don't know why.
Yes, and I should make the distinction, in this dream state, he's never identified himself as Winston Wagner. He was always as the Metatron, the voice of God.
You know, he also only showed up in any of our dreams when Elliot here fell asleep. Maybe if you two stayed tonight, you might be able to enter in, you know, like the two of you are in Elliot's dream or something, and you could go and find the Metatron, or, Winston. You know, that might work.
Now that's a heck of an idea, Vandemeek.
Thank you.
Or, there's another experiment that could be done. This lead-lined box, it has holes for breathing, am I correct in this assumption?
She will very solemnly shake her head no.
Well, curious as I am, I don't think I'm going to experiment with myself in a completely sealed lead box. So, I'm more than welcome, if you are, sister, to perform the dream experiment. That is, if you're up to it.
I don't see why not. I suppose. What's taking Ingrid so long? Would one of you boys mind making sure that she...
I'll take it. Right, I'll check on it. And I pull the cigarettes out of my pocket again as I head for the door.
Ronnie?
Huh?
It has been a long time.
Yes, it's been a long time since I had a cigarette, and I've learned a lot of troubling news, and I need to get out of here.
Do you have what you grabbed from your house? Are you ready to use it if you need to?
Oh. I can wait here. Vandermeer can check on it. He's...
Oh, cripes. Sorry, sister. Yeah, I'll go. I can go check on her.
I'll follow you to the door.
Thanks.
Are the did we leave all the windows boarded up and everything? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, we definitely would have, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you never said that you took it down. So you walk outside, Dart, and you would see that there is something going on at their car. But, I mean, it's towards the end of the driveway. And it's kind of hard to see from this far away. Like, you definitely have to get closer. But also, you would remember, though, that though the car is further down the driveway, it is not outside of the circle.
Okay. Yeah, I'll kind of do that, like, jogging, but you're on snow, so it's, you're not really, like, lifting your feet, you're just kind of, like, skating in shoes.
And I'm still standing... at the open door, like, on the porch, like, watching with my hand, like, in my pocket on the gun.
Yeah. I also have a hand on my gun.
Are you going all the way up to the car, then?
Yeah, if I can't see anything before, then.
Okay, so when you get around to the other side of the car, you look down, and you can see that there is a late... teenaged gentleman. He's sitting there on the ground. He's got his back against the tire. And you can see that there are tears streaming down his face. And he sort of wipes two of them away and he looks up at you. And you notice that he doesn't have a right hand. And he's kind of a little dirty. And he says, hey there, Dart. Good to see you.
Hey there. Winston?
I would prefer if you would use my name that I gave you.
Sure thing. I didn't know if you went by...
You are forgiven, my son.
What are you doing out here in the cold, bud?
Well, I just tore Ingrid's head off and stuffed her in the trunk.
Oh! Okay. That seems a bit extreme.
No, you don't understand. Here's the thing. I have finally figured out what is going on. They're all trying to undermine me. Okay, Dart, here's what's going on. My father is awakening things so I cannot ascend to the throne, Dart. Do you understand? Do you understand, Dart?
You know, I gotta be honest with you. Not so much.
Dart, could you please make me a sanity check?
No. Success.
So you will, just quick to not bog anything down, so half, you will take 3 sanity damage.
Okay. Still looking okay.
You don't understand, Dart. I am going to ascend to the throne, and my father knows, so long as there is a usurper on the firmament... It cannot happen. So we need to stop him together, Dart. those nuns, they would just take me back and stuff me in a box.
Well, they did mention something about a box, but they also seem pretty reasonable.
It's fitting that Ingrid is inside of a trunk now, isn't it, Dart?
I am fumbling with a cigarette and trying to light it.
He will immediately produce a lighter with his left hand and light your cigarette for you.
Would I be able to hear that he's talking to somebody over there?
I think so, yeah. I think that you can tell that he's talking to somebody.
Yeah, after this amount of time and him not coming in with Ingrid, I'm going to start to walk over there, too.
Dart, is something wrong?
No, nothing's wrong.
That's real good, Dart. Tell him to come closer.
I look at him and give him, like, a... Okay. Just kind of, like, the hand, like, hold on. Yeah, Elliot, someone out here wants to talk to you, and I make a motion like I'm rubbing my wrist with my other hand, you know, just, and then I go into like kind of rubbing them together to keep them warm. I say, he's seems pretty anxious to talk to you.
Dark, you're acting very strange.
It's cold outside. Why are you taking so long? And I continue walking forward.
I think at this point, you'll be able to see the young man who is kind of slouched over. He's leaning against the vehicle at this point, but you see the missing right hand immediately, and everything clicks. And he looks up wild-eyed at you and looks much younger than you expected. And he says, oh, praise be, Elliot. Elliot.
My hand goes away from the gun and up to my mouth. I just look shocked.
And I need you to make a sanity check for me, please.
So, going over is bad, right?
You're trying to get under, yeah. So over is
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, so yeah, I went over.
Okay. So you will take 4 points of sanity damage.
Woo.
Here's the thing, Elliot. You need to either get the nun away or you need to bring her out here for me, okay? Do you understand me right now, Elliot?
Get her away how?
You need to get her away. She is going to ruin everything, Elliot. I need you right now, okay? And when I take the throne, you will be at my right hand.
Your right hand.
You will inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Heaven. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I'll do that right away. And I run inside.
As all that's going on, Ronnie's in there trying to make awkward conversation. You ever heard of Church in the Wildwood? That's my favorite hymn, personally.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Letting all the cold air in with this door open. I wonder what's going
Ronnie,
on.
Ronnie, get away.
Huh?
She's not who she says she is. She's trying to stop all this. I mean, not stop all this. She's trying to make all of it worse.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's happening? Just tell us what's going on, and I promise I can answer any question that you might have, okay?
I'm sorry. All of my questions will go to the kingdom of heaven.
Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven.
And I pull out the gun and I aim it at her.
Shit! Frosty, what the...
Roll dexterity.
All right, it is a fail.
Okay, so you fire and it just, like, you see an explosion of shrapnel in the cabinet behind her, and she, like, immediately gets up and she starts scrambling outside, and she's, like, falling and...
I'm gonna shoot again.
Go ahead and roll dexterity.
That's a pass.
All right. You level the gun and the report just echoes out and everybody hears it. And her chest explodes all over the snow on Dr. Greenbank's porch. And she hits the ground and immediately stops moving.
That was close. She almost got to him. Do you realize what would have happened?
And Elliot, you would see across the way that the Metatron is now sprinting towards you, and he runs up and he embraces you, and he seems so strong when he does it, and it's so soothing, and he whispers in your ear, "You did the right thing, son."
Thank you. Will you be able to save my family too? I look up into his eyes.
And he'll hold you at length and he will say, "Elliot, every one of them will inherit the kingdom of heaven with you."
Thank you. I got tears coming out of the sides of my eyes.
He'll embrace you again and then he will grab the nun and he'll drag her over and he'll throw her in the trunk of the nun's car. And then he'll walk over to the snow and he presses his stump of a right arm into the snow and he starts softly saying something that you don't quite understand. And it seems as though the blood is retreating. It's disappearing from the snow and the snow is returning to its pristine white condition, and you watch as the Metatron sort of looks up into the sky for a second and he cracks his neck a little bit and turns back and looks at you and says, "We need your wife, your son, and Dr. Greenbank here as soon as possible. We have a ritual to perform."
"Yes. I'll get them right away."
I think at this point we will cut to Dr. Greenbank.
Okay. Cool.
So Dr. Greenbank, I think at this point you have been visited by the doctor and he informed you, like, they definitely want to keep Nora for observation. They invite both you and Hamlet to stay in the waiting room if you want, or also in Nora's room if you want, but also Nora is not super conscious, but she does say, like, she does tell you that if you want to take Hamlet back to your house instead of staying here, that you're welcome to do that.
Okay. And she'll ask Hamlet if he's cool with that too.
"I don't mind. This place is kind of boring. I know my mom is here, but..."
"That's true.
It's kind of boring here."
"Yeah, hospitals have never been my favorite place either."
"Okay.
Well, let's go back to my house. We'll find your dad and the other guys."
"No, that sounds good."
"Okay. Nora, you give us a call if you need anything, okay?"
"Okay. Absolutely. I think I'll... I'm sure I'll be fine here, though."
"Okay. Yeah, you get some rest."
She'll nod and take a sip of water and then kind of try and roll over and close her eyes.
Okay. All right, and she and Dorothy will go out into the, like, the ward or, like, the waiting room or something, and she'll be like, "Excuse me, is there a telephone that I can use?"
"Oh, yeah." And she'll point over... there's, like, an end table in the waiting room that has a public telephone that's just kind of set on it.
"Thank you. All right, we're going to go give my house a call, and then we're going to head in there."
I think that all of the shit has gone down at this point when the phone rings.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, I had just been kneeling down in the snow next to Metatron as he did that thing with the blood and then told me to go pick them up, and I stand up and I start heading towards towards the car. The nun's car.
The phone is ringing. I think Ronnie and Dart would probably hear it. I'm not sure Elliot does.
Well, Dart's outside.
Oh, okay, so Ronnie, you're probably the only option.
I'm currently frozen against the wall. How long is it gonna ring?
Great.
Yeah.
She's, like, on the line.
I think after maybe the fifth or sixth ring, Ronnie will kind of snap out of it a little bit and just reach over to his side on the little table and pick it up and say, hello.
Oh, Ronnie.
Green Bank?
Yeah, it's me. Is everything okay, hon? Hamlet and I are just about to head back. They're keeping Nora for observation.
You gotta go. You gotta get out of there.
Go. Where?
You better get somewhere safe real fast.
What? Why? What happened?
I don't know.
I'm in a public place right now.
I can't explain it. I don't even know what happened to myself, but I don't think Elliot is well. I don't know where Vandermeek is. Outside somewhere, and there was shooting, and the nuns are dead.
Nuns?
You gotta meet me somewhere. To give me someplace safe to meet you.
Somewhere safe. Do you remember where the university is?
Yeah, sure.
My office.
Yeah. Your office. All right. Go there now. I'll get there somehow. Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Ronnie, as soon as you hang up the phone, you look up and you see this young man. He's leaning in the doorway and he's looking at you, and you notice that he has one of his hands missing, and he says, who's that all about?
I'm pulling out my 45.
Whoa, hey there. There's no need for any of that.
Stay back! Don't come any closer. I may have the jitters, but I will fill you full of fucking lead. And tell me what's going on.
If you wanna stop those Wendigos, you need me.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that. Who are you exactly? I know a lot of people, and I don't recognize your face.
I am the Metatron.
Oh.
Voice of God.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about you. Yeah, you've been stirring up all kinds of trouble.
Everyone needs to come back here. We're gonna need to send you to the dream world, the land of unchristian spirits, as it were.
You're gonna send me? I could send you somewhere until you stop making sense.
Let's just wait until all of your friends are back here, and I'll explain everything.
I got another idea. How about you step off to the side there and back up a few paces and let me by?
I have another idea. Why don't you check your magazine and chamber?
Nah, you're not gonna get me with that trick. That's one of the oldest tricks in the book.
Pull the trigger then.
Yeah. You don't think I'll do it? I'll pull the trigger.
Pull it, and he'll take a step towards you.
I pull the trigger.
It clicks. Pull it!
I pull it again.
Click. Pull it!
I spin the barrel and pull it again.
Click.
Shit. I'm gonna try running out the back.
Hey, don't forget you barred that up. And you'll get there and realize that there's a bunch of shit in the way, and he's just calmly walking towards you.
Vandermeek!
Did I see the Metatron, like, stand up and walk, or was he just gone?
You watched him stand up and walk over to Elliot. He gave him the hug. And then once Elliot started getting to the vehicle, which I'm assuming Elliot is long gone down the road at this point, and Dr. Greenbank is heading to her office, and...
Yeah, Dart's just standing out there, like, finishing that cigarette with shaky hands then, when he hears Ronnie yell.
You wouldn't have tried to stop me from getting in the car?
No, you just shot someone. He is not gonna deal with you right now.
Just smoking my cigarette. Man, these people are crazy.
He's, like, staring off into the distance, like... Vietnam flashback. Yeah, he's just, like, finishing the cigarette wide-eyed, and then hears Ronnie yell, and... Oh, what now? He flicks the cigarette onto the driveway and jogs back inside.
Vandermeek, he's gonna turn my eyes to blood!
I'm not gonna do nothing to him. He's just jumpy. Also, he tried to shoot me, so I unloaded his gun, but that's neither here nor there.
That's... Okay, there's a lot in those couple sentences. Okay, hold on. First of all, Mr. Metatron, you're not gonna hurt any of us, right? We're all good here.
Well, no, I told y'all I need y'all for the ritual.
See? Ronnie, we're all fine. It's good. Also, I think there's been enough people shot in Dr. Greenbank's house today. You know, maybe we can keep that to a minimum. We can just not do that anymore. At least not while she's away. You know, wait for her to get home and let her decide. And, yeah, so what's the problem? What's your issue, Ronnie? I mean, I know everything's crazy. I'm not blaming you for being jumpy, but what's got your goat this time?
Nothing, man. To make him calm. Pocket my gun.
The Metatron will walk over and he will hand you 6 bullets. Here's this bag, then.
I tremblingly take them.
Okay, good. Elliot left. I don't know where he went. I think he said something about a hospital.
Yeah, he's going to pick up Dr. Greenbank and Hamlet and Nora.
I mean, they have a car, and this is her house, and we were all going to meet here. Wouldn't they just... Why does he need to go and pick... Not important. Okay.
Mr. Metatron, sir.
How can I help you, Ronnie?
Those dishes there. Those are Greenbank's good china. Don't douse your cigs on them.
Will do, sir. Will do. You'll watch as he goes over to the cabinet that was exploded from the gunshot, and he picks up a knife, and he... cuts his hand, and he begins to sort of draw something onto the cabinet, and then he speaks a few words, and then in front of your eyes, the pieces don't just go and put themselves back together. Instead, just almost instantly, everything just goes back to normal. And then you hear him say quietly at the end of it, Amen.
Every night you'll hear her croon a Russian lullaby.
The Devil's Antlers is a production by the Time to Die Podcast Network. Our links, our credits, and other shows are all available at timetodierpg.com. If you like this ukulele music, visit charlottepelgian.com, where you can get her entire original album. She also has many old-timey covers available on her YouTube channel. Our cast was Tim DeMuse, Chris Riley, Aubrey Gray, Eric Pat, and I'm Brian Bridges. You can find our character roles and social media links in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Devil's Antlers. And a Russian lullaby.
Sorry, my wife was texting me about who was going to pick up whom tomorrow, and I just needed to make sure I let her know right away. Anywho, sorry.
Nobody's picking up shit.
Shit.
One of our coworkers had to pick up shit yesterday because somebody shat on our sidewalk by the building.
Oh, gross. What the fuck?
Leave that in, Brian.
My mom made him an apple pie as a thank you.
Anywho,
he's gonna start going by there and shitting every day to get more apple pies.